Good morning, everyone. Welcome again to another morning devotional in the Psalms. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church, and so glad that you have joined us for this morning in a very rich and very wonderful psalm, Psalm 40. Psalm 40 is one of my favorites. You've probably heard me say that three or four times so far. I have many favorite psalms. I couldn't be asked to pick just one, of course, but Psalm 40 has many treasures waiting for us this morning as we dig into it together. But first, let's ask the Lord for his help so that the Spirit will speak to us through the Word this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning as your dearly loved children, redeemed by the blood of Jesus, set free from our sin, made holy because of Christ, made your own by adoption in love. We come to you, Father, and we ask that as we turn to your word, as we look at Psalm 40 this morning, that you would speak to us, that you would write your word on our hearts, that you would speak to our minds, that you would reveal truth, reveal Christ, warm our hearts and draw us closer to Christ. And we just pray, Father, that all things will be done to your glory as you speak to us and work in our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, Psalm 40, let's dig into the text and we'll read it and then we'll go through it section by section. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not turn aside to the proud, to those who go astray after a lie. You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you. I will proclaim and tell of them. Yet they are more than can be told. In sacrifice and offering you have not delighted, but you have given me an open ear. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. Behold, I have not restrained my lips. As you know, O Lord, I have not hidden your deliverance within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation. As for you, O Lord, you will not restrain your mercy from me. Your steadfast love and your faithfulness will ever preserve me. For evils have encompassed me beyond number. My iniquities have overtaken me, and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head. My heart fails me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let those be put to shame and disappointed altogether who seek to snatch away my life. Let those be turned back and brought to dishonor who delight in my hurt. Let those be appalled because of their shame who say to me, aha, aha. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say continually, great is the Lord. As for me, I am poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought for me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. So that is Psalm 40. And we're going to walk through it now section by section. And what we're going to see is that Psalm 40 is a great prayer for us to pray when we are in times of distress, but it is even more significantly the prayer of Christ. All the Psalms are really Christ's prayer book. They point us to Christ, and they give us the songs and prayers of Christ. So we'll see that as we go through this morning. So let's jump back up to the beginning of the psalm. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. So how many times have we been in a time of distress, a time of anxiety, a time of waiting, a time of persecution or loneliness or sickness? It could be cancer. It could be marital difficulties. It could be rebellious children. It could be financial difficulties, a layoff at work. Any one of a number of things could bring us into a place of distress, into a pit of destruction, right? And we wait for the Lord at that time. We cry out to him, and he hears us, right? And when he hears us, he delivers us, we praise him. That's what we should do. We shouldn't just say, "Phew, so glad I got past that." No, you didn't get past that. God delivered you, and you need to look up and say, "Lord, thank you for delivering me. Thank you. I will praise you, and not only will I praise you, but I will want many others to see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. I want many others to come to know the God who has saved me." And so then we get a wisdom element here in verse 4 with a statement of blessing. This is one of the elements of the Bible's wisdom literature. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, right? This is similar to the opening of Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who delights in the Lord, right? Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after a lie. You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds, your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you. This is reminds me of the language of Psalm 139. How precious are your thoughts to me? How great is the multitude of them, right? When we think about God, Psalm 40 teaches us that two things ought to be true. Whenever we think about God, okay, we ought to be overwhelmed in awe and wonder. That's part of what it means to walk in the fear of the Lord, right? It is to be overwhelmed with awe and wonder at the greatness of God. But then it should also be a desire to turn outward and tell others about him. I will proclaim and tell them, yet they are more than can be told. So you ever feel at a loss for words when you're trying to share the gospel with someone or trying to share with someone how great God is, and you just think, how can I possibly put into words? How can I possibly explain to you how wonderful God is? It's beyond my ability to tell, and that's true, right? But we still have this desire. We have this desire to worship God in awe and wonder, and a desire to tell others. Now, when we get here to verse 7, 8, and 9 in Psalm 40, the second stanza on your screen here, this is where we really see that this is about Christ. Okay, it's not even about David. It's not directly and immediately and primarily about us. This is the psalm and the song and the prayer of Jesus, because the language here is very specifically Christ's language. In sacrifice and offering you have not delighted, but you have given me an open ear. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. Now, I can't say that directly. Where in the scroll of the book, where in the word of God is it written of me? Right? It's not. Right? Have I come to do the will of God in this sort of salvific way, in this saving, redeeming way? Well, no. Of course I want to do God's will, but this is really about Christ. And to confirm that, Hebrews 10 quotes Psalm 40. And I'll just share that with you. I don't have a slide of this, but if you have a Bible available, you can turn to Hebrews 10 and follow along, or else you can just listen. Hebrews 10 says, for since the law has but a shadow of the good things to come instead of the true form of these realities, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered, since the worshippers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have any consciousness of sins. But in these sacrifices there is a reminder of sins every year, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Verse 5. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, and then it quotes Psalm 40. So consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book. When he said above, you have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and burnt offerings and sin offerings, and these are offered according to the law, then he added, behold, I have come to do your will. He does away with the first in order to establish the second. And by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So through that will, by doing the will of God, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So that's all there in Hebrews chapter 10. So what we have here now is a way to understand Psalm 40 verses 7 through 9 more properly as being about Christ. The body that has been prepared for Christ is what is given to him so that he can do the will of God. Okay? Now, our translation in verse 4 says, you have given me an open ear. And then Hebrews 10 says, but a body you have prepared for me. That's the difference between the way the Hebrew Bible reads and the way the Greek translation Septuagint. But it's both, they both reflect the idea that Christ was prepared to be a willing servant. See, an open ear refers to driving the nail through the ear when someone was freed from slavery, but they offered themselves as a willing servant to do the master's will. So they're both reflecting this idea that Christ willingly does the will of God in redeeming us. A body is prepared for him so that in that body, with that open ear, he might willingly offer himself up for us and for our salvation. So this is Christ who is saying these words, because he's the one who does the will of God for our salvation. Now, we can pray Psalm 40 through Christ because we are in Christ. And it's a helpful reminder to us that we never approach the throne of God apart from our mediator and intercessor, the Lord Jesus Christ. We never come before God on our own merit, standing on our own two feet, as it were. Right? We never say, here I am, right? I'm ready to do your will. No, Christ did that. And so we always come through Christ. Here we are in Christ, and we are ready to approach the Lord through Christ, right? And so that is how we come to the Lord. That is how we approach him in worship, is always through Christ. Then Christ is the one who tells the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. And this has a twofold meaning. One is, when Jesus rose again from the dead, what did he do? He went and sought out his disciples so that he could stand in the midst of the church as it existed at that time, which were the disciples gathered together in the upper room, and tell them the good news. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Right? Here, see the nail marks. Feel the place where the spear went in. I have overcome the world. I give you my spirit, I give you my peace, right? But then also, whenever we gather for worship as the church, it is Christ who is in our midst proclaiming his salvation to us. So this is Christ speaking forth his salvation, but then also us, right? It's when we do the Psalms, we need to do them this way. How does it point us to Christ? What does it tell us about Christ? And then how does that apply to us? How does that apply to us? We need to be just like Christ in saying that we are going to tell the glad news of deliverance. We are not going to hide his deliverance within our hearts. We are going to speak of his faithfulness and his salvation, right? We are not going to be quiet or ashamed of him, right? Now, you may be confused if you say, well, this is about Christ. How in the world could it be? Because verses 11 and 12 talk about evils have encompassed me beyond number. My iniquities have overtaken me. I cannot see. Well, this is also about Jesus on the cross. This is why Jesus needed deliverance. He needed deliverance because on the cross he was made sin for us. He was made the very embodiment of sin for us in our place. He took on our sins and he became our sins. And so that's what that's referring to, where he was overwhelmed with that. Which also means that when we go back to the beginning and we read about the pit of destruction and the miry bog that God drew up, that's the grave, that's death, right? God the Father drew Christ up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog of death. And so this is all telling us about the wonderful salvation that the Lord Jesus Christ worked for us. And then we'll go to the close. May all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say continually, great is the Lord. So that's what we're called to do. We're called to respond in love. Do you love the salvation of God? I've pointed this out to you before, but whenever we read in the Hebrew Bible salvation, we should be reminded that that's actually the name of Jesus. Jesus' name means salvation, Yeshua, Yahweh's salvation. So that's what we should be responding to God's salvation by saying, great is the Lord. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for loving us and for giving us this day together. Thank you for waking us up with another day of life and another day of strength and peace in you. And Father, we thank you for the hope of the gospel. We thank you for the goodness that you show to us. We thank you for Christ, our Redeemer, and for the salvation that is ours in him. We thank you that you lift him up from the miry bog, from the pit of destruction of death, and you have given him eternal life, an eternal life which he shares with us when he proclaims to us the good news of salvation, the good news of deliverance from sin and death. Thank you for Jesus. May we as your people be eager to share the good news of Jesus with others. May we not be quiet. May we not hide your deliverance within our hearts, but may we tell aloud of your salvation day to day. Father, please be with us during this COVID-19 time. Help us to be wise and faithful as our society transitions towards more reopening. We pray that we would be faithful and steadfast in doing what is right and wise and good. Please be with our governing officials as they make decisions regarding regulations and permissions. Please be with business owners as they make decisions about reopening and cleaning and enforcing regulations for social distancing. Please be with our doctors and nurses and healthcare workers as they continue to serve us so sacrificially on the front lines. Father, you are so good, and we thank you for your goodness to us. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have a wonderfully blessed day, and go with God today.